This episode brought to you by Correlation and BankJoy. On the show today, we have Banking On's very own Alexei Krasnoyadsev and WeQ's Jack Ingram talking about mobile banking and the digital member experience, how the two organizations work together to really excel in this area for their members. So check it out. Welcome to our show, and boy, do we have an episode for you. But first, before we get into those details, we're going to do some introductions. And right next to me is Mr. Jack Ingram from WeQ. Jack, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. And then right below us is Mr. Alexei Krasnoyadsev from Banking On. Did I get it right, Alexei?
Absolutely. And yeah, thank you for pronouncing my name. It's amazing.
You're welcome. Hey, like I said before the recording, I've been practicing. I wanted to get this one right. So anyway, but thank you guys again for hanging out with us for a few minutes today, talking about mobile banking, the digital member experience as we're all experiencing these days, and then how you guys work together in this area to really better serve WeQ's members here. So Alexei, I'm going to start with you first here. So can you briefly tell us about Banking On and mobile banking technology? What differentiates a mediocre mobile app from a stellar app?
It's a loaded question, but thank you for asking.
Can you condense that in the 30 seconds, Alexei?
All right. Definitely going to give it a try.
Go for it.
So Banking On, we're a mobile banking provider, really focused on user experience. I would say that is our strongest core proposition of focusing on the member and creating an experience that really highlights the brand of the credit union. And our goal is, can we elevate your credit union's brand where it actually feels premium, right? It feels that it's on par with big bank. Mm-hmm. And can it supersede that? Because we all know credit unions cherish the customer service. And for me, it's always been a question, well, how do you do it if people don't go to the branch? And obviously 2020 highlighted that a lot. And that's really my passion, is how do we empower credit unions to deliver their amazing customer service through the mobile channel? But all nowadays, what it means is that the channel, the mobile app itself, has to be so intuitive that people can do it quickly, that it's not frustrating, it's not stressful. I don't have to think about it, because clearly not most people wake up in the morning, okay, how... I'd love to spend 15 minutes in my mobile app today. How can I do that with my credit union, right? Usually it's more like I just need to get something done and get on to with my life. And that's really that's what drives us. And our partnership with WeQ has been an amazing success and of collaboration to really be focusing on that as one of our number one goals, is how do we serve members with what they need as quickly and as beautifully and as easy as possible.
Yeah. I like your description, a premium experience. So I haven't heard that one yet, but that one really sums it up quite nicely. And Jack, let's back up a few steps here. So what was going on at WeQ that prompted you to look for a mobile banking tech like Banking On's? What was going on there, and how did you guys move forward in that area?
Yeah. So like most credit unions, WeQ is sort of in the midst of digital transformation, right? And that means different things to different folks within an industry. But for WeQ, WeQ had chosen a new core provider, a lot of new surrounding technology stacks, including online and mobile banking. And the reality is that was a huge undertaking. But upon delivery, there were gaps, right? There were product gaps and challenges with the member experience around some of those platforms. On top of that, additionally, we were sort of shifting to a mobile-first philosophy in the midst of all this, right? Everybody was and is trying, but that was really codified by our senior leadership team and our board of directors, and this is sort of going to be the tip of the spear for us, right? And so for us, right, Banking On was sort of a natural fit based upon their methodology, their approach, and frankly, the platform support, right? They integrated very well with the platforms that we had in place at that time. So
like you said, it was a natural fit, because you kind of answered my next question. Is like, what attracted you guys to Banking On, or what was different about it that pretty much sealed the deal, so to speak?
Yeah, for me, part of it really was approach. So Alexei and team, very much treated this as a partnership, not as a sales process, right? And so as we started to scope product, there was a lot of back and forth. There was a lot of dialogue around what the best approach was or wasn't. And sometimes that caused friction, but good friction, as we worked together to sort of work through what a good member experience means. I mean, I think through the process, and we've done a lot of building together since we launched, but it's allowed both of our teams to grow because we both have unique insights into what the member experience should be, right? And so I think it's been a huge success from that angle, but that's really what differentiated them from the start, was that true partnership approach. And that gets ballied around or bounced around quite a bit within industry, right? But typically the rubber never really meets the road. And in this case, it did.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that. And Alexi, I'm coming to you on this one. So how did your two organizations, kind of dovetailing off what Jack just said, I mean, how did your two organizations work together to create this great mobile experience? Because I was on your website last night doing some research, and Weku had a 4.8 star rating out of 5 on their mobile experience. So how did you guys get this great mobile experience that got this great rating? And this is out of like 9,500 ratings from folks out there. So this is proof in the pudding that you guys are doing something right. So how'd you guys work together to accomplish this?
Yeah, I think that's, I love the partnership. As Jack mentioned, sometimes it feels like a little bit stressful. And I think that's where it's super great to have Weku as a partner, because Weku would push back on us when they feel like we could do better. So in a way, even though sometimes getting that feedback, like, no, you can do better, it's like, oh, that's a little tough. But it pushes us to overcome that and actually deliver even better, something better. And I think user experience is really where we love, where what we do really well. And Jack and Carrie and the rest of the team at Weku care about that a lot. So they even had I think when we launched the first version, you had like a big screen in your branch where people could test it out. So it's all about collaboration. Yeah. And I would say it's also humility, realizing that none of us know what's truly best by ourselves, but in a combined collaboration, hearing what you as a credit union feel, you know, your members, you know, this. You don't know all of them. You don't know everything about them, but you have a good sense of where it is.
Yep.
And here's what we see from the industry. Here's what we see from all the best practices of our experience as designers. How do we solve that? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it does really mean about looking at the pains of the member and just getting out of the box of, oh, I have this financial product, so I'm going to have some functionality around that. And then I have this different vendor, and I'm going to have a lot of functionality around that. And they're completely disconnected because it's different vendors. But for most members, they never think about that. That's like, they don't care that you have a credit card vendor that's different from your debit card vendor, that's different from your e-statements vendor. It's like, it's all Weku. It's all, I'm only dealing with Weku as a member. I needed to look and work and deal exactly as it is Weku without any differences of that. So if that sums it up.
Oh, completely. And this is something that I haven't really heard before, is like how you guys pushed each other because nothing great really happens unless you get pushed, you know? So, and then you couple it with the collaboration of how you guys work together. Hey, you know what? Alexi pushed you guys, Jack pushed you guys. So it's just, and again, that's how you advance. And so it sounds like you guys really, really achieved that goal there. So really, really good stuff here. And Jack, I mean, and I'm not sure how far along you are in this process, but if you could share, I mean, I don't know if you have the numbers or anything like that, but any results or any anecdotes that kind of reflect your credit union succeeding in this area would be really, really cool.
Yeah. So, you know, we've, like I said, we've built a lot with the banking on team. And so one of the things that, right, we decided right up front was where it made sense to do so, right, from an ROI perspective, from a sort of overall level of effort perspective, we could and should leverage APIs, but there's a cost to that, right? And so there's been a lot of back and forth around how we balance member experience, right, and how we don't, or like how we may choose to go with an SSO via API integration. And along the way, Weku has sort of stood up tooling to help support that conversation with mm-hmm. our members and internally. Mm-hmm. So while we are sort of driving down this road with banking on and working through this process, we also stood up basically a member listening platform with a third-party partner to allow basically communities to sort of spring up and to use that as for sort of like A-B testing. We really moved away from sort of industry partnership to owning the experience around how we solicit and gain feedback, whether it's NPS or whether it's specific to product launches or product initiatives. Mm-hmm. And so we launched sort of both those things along similar timeframes as we did with banking on, and we use them to help drive the process. And I would say from a measurement perspective for us, it was the data, for example, we pull through Qualtrics, right, around sort of the member feedback. It's really been the App Store ratings. When we launched with banking on collectively, I think the Android app had like a 1.1 star rating and the iOS app had like a 1.2 star rating. And so seeing that stuff swing up to where it should, has been a huge deal. And collectively, as we tracked NPS around like our Voice of the Member survey, we coming off sort of those large digital transformation initiatives, we really heard it, especially around the digital channels. And this allowed us to take that and really swing the pendulum back the other direction, right? Mm-hmm. Which was really critical because this is such a primary touch point
for our members. Yeah, no doubt. And speaking of primary touch point, what are your members looking for in a mobile app? I mean, can you pin it down to like a couple of specific things that they're looking for? Obviously, ease of use and what Alexi was talking about earlier, you know, just something super convenient and really easy, almost invisible, you know, you want that super easy experience. So what are your members looking for?
Well, you know, I think it changes day to day, right? So we got really lucky. We sort of nailed all this and hit it pre-COVID, like right before the pandemic hit. So we really saw that huge lift around, you know, mobile deposit capture, for example. We invested a lot, surprisingly, in the bill pay experience to nativize that experience, leveraging APIs back to CheckFree. That's seen big adoption. We nativized the e-statement experience, right? Because we're trying to really drive some real true hard ROI out of some of these platforms and be able to measure it. Mm-hmm. Since then we've launched rewards and we have sort of a hybrid API SSO experience for rewards. And now we're working on things like Plaid integration with Alexi for account aggregation and sort of trying to make ourselves top of wallet, right? Because we're not naive. We recognize, right, that members have relationships elsewhere, but we want to be the primary for our mm-hmm. membership. And so there's a lot of back and forth and build. But I would say for us, right, it's always the bread and butter. How can our members get into the platform as quickly and seamlessly as possible, do their business and get out, but also feel engaged? And to Alexi's point, this is a premium experience. Yeah. It's not clunky. It's not a web wrapper. It's what it should be, like other iOS experiences or Android experiences, right? Yeah. It's native.
Yeah. And then that experience prompts them to tell their neighbors about it, or their, you know, that word of mouth thing that everyone's looking for. So good stuff. Alexi, so how can credit unions drive more adoption and engagement on mobile? And maybe you can answer this as well, Jack, from the credit union perspective. But Alexi, I'll let you go first on this one.
Well,
it's based on your conversations with credit unions. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe Jack's like, more the appropriate one.
The easiest one is just buy a product like that. That would be, but that would be too cheesy, right? So I would say the main part is really, push your vendors, know what you want, have a good example that you are as a target saying, this is what we would like to achieve, right? And usability, it, for many credit unions execs, it almost could seem like, what does it even mean, right? But the good part, if you're using other apps, you already have some sense of that, even you might not be able to articulate. And it's something as simple like this. Like on iOS, we're so used to be able to swipe to go back. If you're on Facebook, YouTube, anywhere you are, if you're looking at something, you just swipe to go back, right, or you swipe down to close something up. Mm-hmm. And I'm making an anecdote. My 2-year-old daughter, she can't speak, she can anything, but she watches YouTube Kids and she knows how to swipe down. And
if that amazing?
Call comes in, somebody calling me, she knows how to swipe it off the screen so she doesn't get distracted. Like, even kids already, it's just because it's part of what the native is. And if your experience doesn't allow people to do that, where mm-hmm. they need to think, okay, did I just schedule a payment or what just happened? I thought I was making a payment and now it's a six. Now it's like, well, where is it? I don't see it anywhere. Now I need to go to another tab to find schedule payments just to double check that what I've just done mm-hmm. actually happened.
Yeah.
Like, those are the painful things where people, like, it's like, you guys don't respect my time. You don't care about my my comfort, because I'm uncomfortable if I don't fully understand what just happened.
Yeah.
And that is really where what drives us, what motivates us to continue perfecting the experience of banking in digital.
And ultimately that will drive more adoption because of that experience. I want to get the Creighton perspective here, Jack,
question. So, you know, I think it's interesting, right? So there's, I think within industry, there's two camps. I think there's people who get it and people who are starting to get it. I think there's, historically, there's been this, I buy a boxed product. It is what it is. People use it because that's what we offer. And their relationships are here. And by the nature of their relationships, they're sticky and they're not going to leave because we may have a suboptimal or subpar mobile banking product or online banking product. But I think the reality is the world has shifted, right? It's too easy to change relationships now. And some of this is demographic split, but the reality is that's no longer a crutch that we can rely on as an industry. Right. And so that means we are competing on experience, right? We are competing on functionality and we are being benchmarked against the Venmos of the world or the Robinhoods or the SoFis or whatever it may be, right? And so internally, we do a lot of benchmarking against those platforms just so there's that broad awareness. And this space is moving fast. I mean, I think everybody on this call certainly recognize that. Yeah. It's like every day there's something new and happening and partnerships being established. But for us, I think there's no longer a question whether these technologies will be adopted or how we escalate or force adoption. The reality is this is just table stakes now. That doesn't mean, though, that we aren't doing things. So, for example, Alexi sort of mentioned those large kiosks we had in branches and things like that. We, upon launch of Banking On, we had to tell the story of, okay, this is what it was. This is what it's become. And to get people to understand that, look, this is new. This isn't the same stuff people are trotting out. This is exciting. Give us mm-hmm. a shot. Give mm-hmm. us a chance. And so we did some pretty large marketing efforts around it. We built out basically an interactive demo around the mobile app so you could touch through screens either on a website or on kiosks in branch that literally mirrored the phone and walkthrough functionality. And we did a lot of work on that front to really educate members. And then from there, it sort of snowballs, right? It is referral-based. Oh, man, boy, have you checked it out? It's so much better than it was. And since then, we've continued to listen to feedback and adopt and shift around member behavior, either because, you know, things like biometrics are now supported on Android. So we're taking that feedback and partnering with Alexi, and where we can, we deliver that functionality. Right on. Yeah. So it mirrors iOS, or even little things like this is one that Alexi and his team brought back, but with masks, right? So everybody ran around with iOS is using Face ID, but well, masks throw it out of whack. And so now, right, the app, if it recognizes that Face ID failure, it pops up. You can enter a PIN code and bypass instead. And little things like that make a difference and pull friction out, but that you never get to unless you have a real partnership.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. See, that's the stuff that keeps credit unions relevant, because you're, I don't want to say this, don't sound so ancient, but you're keeping up with the times, basically. Yeah. You're keeping up with the technology. When the technology changes, you guys are right there lockstep with it. So, oh my gosh, really cool. All right, last question for you guys, because I know you have a lot on your plate and I don't want to monopolize your time here, but, and we've kind of alluded to this throughout the interview, but what does it take to successfully execute a credit union and fintech partnership? Jack, I'll let you go first on this one. Give us the credit union perspective. Because, I mean, Alexi, you talked about it before, and each of you guys talked about how you push each other, but kind of segueing off that, what does it take?
I think it takes a few things. It takes commitment from the top. Mm-hmm. Absolutely takes commitment from the top. It takes appropriate funding and a willing to spend on the experience and the integrations to do it well. Mm-hmm. And then it really takes an open and transparent partnership, like we've already sort of discussed, where there is a sort of a two-way street around feedback and the build process. Otherwise, you're just buying off the shelf product, yeah, and yeah. You can't. It's really hard to compete that way.
Completely, completely. Well said, Alexei.
I'll build on top of that, and then maybe elaborate a little bit on what the partnership does look like and what we learned. Like one thing that we learned. Oftentimes, it's hard for credit unions to think that way because a lot of so used to, okay, I'm buying this from this big vendor, and I know I have to be like super aggressive with them because if I don't push them hard enough, I'm not going to get anything ever. And at the same time, with us, it's different. This is different. Before you make your decisions, let's actually discuss that. And when we discuss it, okay, this is what we're thinking. This is the business problem we're trying to solve. This is the business case. How do we get more people into the e-statements? Because we got to save that much every year. And I was thinking we're going to do it this way. And then our team was like, well, but we can do it differently. And here's what we can do it on UX to solve that. And that creates this dialogue. And in other cases where it doesn't work so well as it is with WeQ, it's when our partner comes in like, do this. Why is it important? I didn't really think about it. Just do this. Mm-hmm. And that's where the partnership is really thriving mm-hmm. is when, okay, we're thinking about moving that direction. Let's try to figure it out together and combining the minds, combining the brilliance of the team to come up with the solutions and plans of how to do that.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Well said, well said. All right, gentlemen. Well, I'm going to let you guys get back to work because, again, you got some technology to develop out there and keep this keep that snowball moving forward. So, yeah, so you appreciate the time and look forward to another chat down the road, see where you guys are in this process. Really fun, really fun.
Well, thanks for your time. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Anytime.